Hi, boys and girls. We're going to read some stories from the Susie and Johnny series of books. And this one's called Coals of Fire. The school bell rang out the news that vacation was over and the first day of school had come. Johnny and Susie were walking to school together. Suddenly, Johnny had a very serious look on his face and he said to his companion, "Say, Susie, it seems like we will be going to school for a long time before we ever get to be missionaries." "Yes," Susie answered, "but Daddy read in the Bible the other night that Moses was 80 years in getting ready to do the work God wanted him to do." "Boy, 80 years," Johnny exclaimed. "Well, I guess it won't be so long after all." Just then, Whitney Page, the school bully, spied them, and Johnny was carrying Susie's books and lunch pail, and the big bully couldn't pass up the chance to have what he called some fun. He kept his hand to one side of his oversized mouth and shouted, "Johnny is a sissy! Johnny is a sissy! Johnny is a sissy!" Now, Johnny wasn't a sissy. He was a real American boy with hard, strong muscles, and he was big for his age. His clothes were always clean, and he was a good student in school, but he was anything but a sissy. He knotted his fists into little hard balls that the knuckles turned white on. Susie quickly looked at him. His lips were pressed tightly together, and his eyes were flashing fire. He was ready to fight. Susie smiled at him proudly and said calmly, "It's all right, Johnny. The Bible says to heap coals of fire on the heads of people who abuse you." This met with Johnny's full approval. "Boy," he said, "I wish I had some coals of fire right now." "But it doesn't mean that," Susie said. "It means to do good to them and be kind, and that's the best way to treat people like that." "Yeah, coals of fire would burn 'em up too much," Johnny mumbled, "and I'd just as soon do it with my fists." "Yes, but the best way to burn up would be to treat him kindly," Susie declared.
"Really?
Well, I want to burn him up all right." Seeming to agree with Susie's way that would be best, the fire faded from Johnny's eyes and he unknotted his fists that he had been ready and itching for a fight. At that moment, Whitney picked up a handful of mud from the ditch and smacked it right into Johnny's face. His clean shirt was spoiled and his face hung with gritty mud. Again, his fists clenched into hard balls of revenge, and his lip curled into a snarl and his eyes narrowed to little slits that flashed fire. Susie was quick to notice and whispered words of Christian encouragement. "Burn him up, Johnny. Burn him up." Suddenly he relaxed and his snarl turned into a smile. He slowly wiped the mud off his face and Susie got out her handkerchief and helped. Whitney was somewhat astonished. He was bigger than Johnny and he was itching for a fight. Now, in this strange reaction, it was evident that he was embarrassed. A crowd had gathered around expecting to see a fight, and the bully tried to bluff his way out of his humiliating predicament. "What's the matter, sissy?" he snarled. "Are you afraid to fight?"
"No, Whitney, I'm not afraid," Johnny bravely answered in a tone, a voice that none of them doubted.
"Well," his adversary pressed him, "ain't you mad 'cause I threw mud on you?" Johnny now regained full control of himself, and he looked at the bully straight in the face and smiled at him and answered, "No, I'm not mad." Susie whispered, "Tell him, Johnny, tell him." Johnny took new courage and declared in an unquivering voice, "You see, Whitney, I'm a Christian now, and I forgive you." And then the last school bell rang, and the children hastened off to their classrooms. After school, Whitney and some of his gang followed Johnny and Susie on the way home. He had been embarrassed by the presence of his friends. "I'm going to get even," he declared, calls himself a Christian. "We'll see."
He motioned for the others to follow him and walked over to Johnny. He again led the gang of tormentors in a chant. "Johnny is a sissy, Johnny is a sissy." One of the smaller members of Whitney's gang had learned before Johnny was saved to have great respect for Johnny's fists, but now he managed to stay close to Whitney and felt quite safe. He chirped up in a little voice, "Little Sunday school boy, little Sunday school boy, he's a coward," another one added. "Sissy, coward, yellow, boo." Johnny had taken about all he could stand, and he knew he could lick any one of them at a time, except Whitney, and he was willing to take him on, too. His lips were set in a hard line, and his fingers itched and twitched. Susie looked up at him with confidence and whispered, "Burn him up, Johnny, burn him up." Suddenly, Johnny stopped, glanced at Susie, and then turned and smiled at his tormentors. "Yes, Susie, I don't mind." This seemed to spoil the fun for the gang of cowards, and the two young heroes were soon at the Graham home explaining the whole affair to Susie's mother. "And mother," Susie explained, waving her arms in excited gestures, "they threw mud all over him, spoiled his clean shirt, called him a coward, a sissy, a Sunday school boy, and everything." And then she rolled her big round eyes over toward Johnny and added proudly, "And Johnny just smiled at them and told them he'd forgive them, 'cause he is a Christian." Mrs. Graham listened with much interest to the whole story, and then she smiled at the two children and said, "Well, I'm real proud of you both. And John, I'm glad you stopped in on your way home from school. We're going to pray about this problem together. I know it's real hard, but somehow in the end, I know you're going to win out." Johnny was a little embarrassed at the praise and was quick to explain, "Daddy always told me never to start a fight, but he says if somebody else starts it, I have to fight, to fight hard." "Well, John, maybe if you try Susie's verse, then you won't have to fight yet." "You mean heap coals of fire on his head?" "Yes, that's it," Susie affirmed. She puckered up her brow like she did when she was serious and inquired, "Where is that verse, Mother?" "Well," her mother answered, "it's found in two places, Susie, here in Proverbs 25:21 and 22. If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." "See, Johnny," Susie exclaimed, "God will reward you for forgiving him." "Then here's another verse in the 12th chapter of Romans. Look, Susie, you read it." Susie looked at verses 17 through 20 seriously, shook her golden curls as if they might be obstructing her vision, and inquired, "What's that first word?" "Recompense. That means to return. Recompense. To no man evil for evil," Susie read. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lie within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written." And she stumbled again. "Vengeance," her mother helped her. "That means punishment. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink." Mrs. Graham pointed her finger at the next verse. "Now here is the verse," she said, and they read it together. "For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head." "And look at this," her mother continued. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." "What does that mean?" Johnny inquired. "Overcome evil with good. That means to do what you did today," Susie said. "That's right," her mother agreed. "Then you know, children, there are some other verses that were a blessing to me when one unkind woman was gossiping about me. I think they will be of a help to you, too. Here, I copied them down in the front of my Bible. Jesus said, But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Then there's another one. Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them which curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer the other. Johnny listened in amazement. Does it really work, Mrs. Graham? Well, she smiled, you have a mighty good opportunity to try it, don't you? You mean the coals of fire, Susie asked. Sure, return good for evil. Johnny was now enthusiastic about the new way of treating his enemies. He gleefully pounded his fist on the table and shouted, I'll really burn them. I'll really burn them up. Susie was in very serious mood. That's what Jesus did, didn't he, Mother? He prayed for his enemies. Yes, he did, Susie. Jesus loved his enemies, and he prayed for them. The little girl cuddled up in her mother's lap and pleaded, tell us the story again, Mother. Her mother had a faraway look in her eyes. Well, it was in the city of Jerusalem, she began. Jesus had an unfair trial and had been condemned by Pilate to die on the cross. It was on top of the mountain called Calvary. The soldiers laid a huge wooden cross on the ground, stretched Jesus out upon it, and they drove nails through his hands and feet. And then they lifted up the cross with Jesus hanging on it. It must have been at that moment that Jesus looked up into heaven and prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The storyteller paused a moment, and Johnny cleared his throat, and Susie cuddled closer. I know Jesus suffered from the nails in his hands and feet, she continued, from the thorn crown on the head that was thrust on his brow, from the lash they laid on his back, and now his arms were pulled out of the shoulder sockets, and his weight hung on the cross. But the worst suffering of Jesus was not physical. He actually became sin for us, and because God can't have any fellowship with sin, he turned his face and left Jesus to die alone. There were several hours of darkness, and the crowd became silent. They had been passing by, mocking him, spitting upon him, but in darkness, a strange fear gripped their hearts. They sat by in silence through the terrible hours of darkness. Suddenly, there was an earthquake. God pulled back the curtain of darkness, and the crowd looked on the form of Jesus as he hung on the cross. He's dead, someone shouted, and he rushed off into the city to tell the news. He's dead, he's dead, he's dead, and they passed the news along. Johnny brushed an unfallen tear from his eyes. But he's not dead now, is he, Mrs. Graham? No, she assured him, he arose from the dead, and he now lives to help us to live for him. When we believe in him, Susie said, then he lives in our hearts, and that's why we can forgive our enemies. Johnny smiled at Susie and said, I'm not even mad at Whitney anymore. If Whitney just loved Jesus, he wouldn't be mean, Susie suggested. Let's pray for him right now. So Susie and her mother and Johnny knelt in prayer for a boy who had proved himself to be an enemy. At recess the next afternoon, Whitney and his gang got together at the corner of the schoolyard. Whitney was speaking. We got to think of some way to get even with those kids, Susie and Johnny. They think they're so smart. His gang dejectedly loitered near him. One of them finally admitted, they beat us in everything we've tried yet. Yeah, she told me she prayed over her problems in arithmetic. Prayed over arithmetic? Whitney exclaimed, what next?